Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we have a 2.5 hour interview by Lex Fridman of Elon Musk to discuss. We'll walk through the big takeaways there, and I'll put the link down in the show notes if you do want to watch the entire thing. I would recommend it. If you're interested in the Tesla stuff, that starts at about 1 hour and 5 minutes in. I've also got a handful of updates from analysts as we now head into the final days of the fourth quarter, and a little bit of news on China and a couple other things as well. Pretty quiet day for Tesla stock today, finishing down 0.5% to $1,088.47. while the Nasdaq also finished down right around 0.5%. All right, so let's get into this Elon Musk interview. As I said, it's a lengthy interview, so I'll do my best here to summarize the main takeaways. We'll focus mainly on Tesla-related items. They did start off talking about SpaceX, the recent Inspiration 4 mission, then Starship and Mars. And from those sections, I think a couple things worth passing along. First off, he said that engine production is the biggest Starship-related problem right now. As we have heard, prototypes are easy, production is hard. So Elon reiterating that point with Starship, but he says, quote, "At this point, I do think we will get Starship to work," end quote, and that the physics pencil out. So even though at one point during the podcast, Elon did give his little coined optimism, pessimism, forget that, we're going to make it work, though he does use a different word there. But anyway, he does seem pretty optimistic that SpaceX is going to get Starship to work at some point. Lex asked when he thinks they will be landing a human on Mars. He thought about it for quite some time and said best case, about 5 years, worst case, 10 years. That led into a discussion on Mars and governance. Elon said that Mars would be an opportunity to rethink governance and that he thinks a direct democracy would make sense rather than a representative democracy. They also talked a little bit about currency. Lex asked if Doge could be a candidate for the currency of Mars. Elon said that Mars really will need a standalone currency just because of the latency and communication between Earth and Mars. Mars will need something that's at least partially localized. Getting into Tesla topics, unsurprisingly, they spent a lot of time talking about autonomy and Tesla AI, first about autopilot and FSD, and then the Tesla bot. I thought the autopilot discussion was very informative. They started off just kind of setting the scene about the progress over the last few years since Tesla really started working on autopilot. Elon said that, yeah, the problem has been harder than he thought it would be. They talked about the fundamental set of challenges that Tesla is trying to solve in terms of taking raw photon data into the cameras, representing that into vector space, and then applying control logic to actually navigate the vehicle around in that vector space. Elon doesn't seem to be too troubled by that portion, the control logic. He said it's not a trivial problem, but that it's not insurmountable. Seemed to kind of imply that the accurate representation in vector space was a more difficult part of this, which I think is pretty interesting because as a user of the FSD beta, I think a lot of times it feels the opposite, but a lot of times I'm guessing that the strange controlling options are due to errors in the vector representation that maybe don't necessarily come through in the visualization. Though obviously path planning not fully solved yet, so probably a combination of both. Anyway, then they talked about once you have an accurate representation of vector space, you have to then have predictions. They kind of went into some of the AI day topics about having both space-based and time-based memory so that FSD can have a sense of object permanence. That led into a bit of a comparison with how humans interpret their surroundings and the visual inputs that humans are processing, and then some of the similarities and differences for a computer. This led into a discussion in terms of how the neural networks are actually operating. Elon spent a fair amount of time discussing inputs and outputs for various layers of the neural network, and I'm not sure exactly which layer he's talking about here, but one of the things Elon noted that Tesla is working on is converting over some of those neural networks to work off of raw photons rather than post-processed images. And as a part of this, he said that they kind of need to redo their training model, which right now is based on post-processed images, to instead then work on raw photons. Related to that, Elon kind of made a tangential comment that I thought was one of the most interesting parts of the discussion. He was talking about how the cameras at night can pick up such small differences in photon counts, allowing them to, quote, "see much better in the dark than you could possibly imagine," end quote. Anyway, the conversation about restructuring some of the inputs and outputs there led into discussion on version 11. Version 11 FSD beta, that is, not the version 11 software update. And I can't remember if Elon said that the switch over to RAW would be a part of version 11 or not. I'll have to go back and listen to that, but he did say that version 11 has fundamental rewrites to the neural network architecture, one of those being that the neural networks would be eating some of the hard-coded C++ code that they're using today, which then actually reduces the lines of code needed and should make things more efficient. He did also confirm that version 11 is working in alpha right now and that it is single stack, which, remember, that means that the code base that's running FSD beta right now would be used for everything from Navigate on Autopilot down to Smart Summit. He said Tesla originally was trying to get out version 11 this year, but obviously that's not happening at this point. I don't think he gave a more specific timeline, but hopefully not too far away given that original target and the fact that they're running it on alpha right now. Lex also asked Elon when he thought Tesla would solve level 4 autonomous driving. Elon said, quote, it's looking quite likely that it will be next year, end quote. Of course, we've heard Elon make comments like that in the past, but he did add some interesting other details here. He said that if you look at the progress with FSD beta, the rate of disengagements has been dropping rapidly. Specifically, he said interventions per million miles has been dropping rapidly. This is kind of what I talked about in the interview with Alex Potter. It's tough to get a sense for that on an individual basis, I think, because if you take two steps forward and one step back, an individual might be in that one step back or that two steps forward for any given release, so it's kind of tough to gauge the true progress, but Tesla's got all the data from the entire fleet, and they can see how the interventions per million miles changes with each iteration. So it's good to hear that those are dropping rapidly, but I think the question is then, okay, is this going to look like an exponential graph, or is it an S-curve where that last bit takes forever? Probably the last thing on autonomy then, Elon did bring up auto-labeling, noting that it is essential for solving this problem, and that it increases labeling productivity by 100 times or more. On to the Tesla bot then, as Elon has said many times, Tesla views this as a natural extension of the technologies that they're developing for autonomous driving. Lex asked a little bit about the use cases that Tesla has in mind for the Tesla bot, if it could eventually be in the home. Elon said, yep, I think the possibilities are endless. Again, noting that the first focus would be on dangerous, boring, repetitive work that humans don't really want to do, and that hopefully at some point, work can become optional paired with a universal basic income. Lex brought up a couple of questions on costs and eventual volume. He asked if there could be hundreds of millions of Tesla bots someday, or if there might be more Tesla bots than eventually Tesla vehicles. And Elon said he hasn't really thought about it all that far, but basically his thoughts were, yeah, sure, he doesn't see why not. And of course, that Tesla's prowess in manufacturing is one of the reasons they feel like the Tesla bot is worth taking on. Finally then, on the Tesla bot, Elon said that Tesla would probably have a decent prototype towards end of next year or something like that. So that kind of wrapped up the Tesla discussion. Again, plenty of other topics covered in this interview, but those were really the relevant pieces for Tesla aside from just some general philosophies that Elon has that we've talked about many times before. So we'll leave the recap there, but again, if you do want to watch the full interview, which I would recommend, the link for that is in the description. All right, next up here, we've got a few analyst updates ahead of the close of the fourth quarter. That is, of course, on Friday, the last day. First up, we've got a price target increase from Argus. They have raised their price target on Tesla from $1,010 previously, now to $1,313. They have reiterated their buy rating on the stock and raised their 2021 earnings per share estimate to $6.16 from $5.67 previously. That's non-GAAP earnings per share, versus what they note as the consensus of $6.13, and they also raised their 2022 non-GAAP earnings per share estimate to $8.66 from $7.68, noting implied growth of 41% from their 2021 estimate. I think they're going to be a little bit low on that, but they also say that the 2022 consensus is $8.54. Next up, we've got Wedbush, Dan Ives chiming in, reiterating his $1,400 price target. Saw some misreporting on this that they've increased their price target. That's not true, that happened already, but reiterating the $1,400 price target by rating, with Ives noting that he expects component shortages to ease next year, reducing Tesla's production constraints, allowing them to better meet demand in China, as well as Texas and Berlin coming online to alleviate production bottlenecks. Quote, the linchpin to the overall bull thesis on Tesla remains China, which we estimate will represent 40% of deliveries for the EV maker in 2022, end quote. A little bit more on China in a second, but first wrapping up with the analysts, we also have an update from Trip Chowdhury of Global Equities Research, who recently visited the Fremont factory and says that based on the activity, particularly on Christmas Day, that he believes that Q4 deliveries will, quote, be massive, end quote, and that production shipments and deliveries of the Model S Plaid look strong as well. I don't really know what to make of that without any numbers, but passing that along. All right, getting back to China then, we have a little bit of a teaser here from Tesla analyst Shanghai on Twitter, who remember has posted domestic China retail sales for months ahead of the official releases in the past, and they largely have been accurate, sometimes not always, but definitely seems to have some sort of access to information. Anyway, this account posted on Twitter today, quote, such a big surprise, see you Friday, end quote. Now remember, this account only ever posts about China domestic sales, so I would assume they're excited about a big number specifically for that, and for context, we'd have to look back at what domestic sales have been in previous months rather than looking at total production. And the peak for domestic sales for any one month was back in September at the end of Q3 at right around 52,000 vehicles. So I would assume this implies a better number than that for December. Still, though, because this is the last month of the quarter, the export number might be small, even though Tesla says that they're trying to unwind the delivery wave. old habits die hard, so I wouldn't expect a huge export number in December. So even a really strong domestic delivery number might not be quite as encouraging as it might seem at first. Me personally, I would be very happy with any number above 60,000. That's sort of in the ballpark of what I expect for production for Giga Shanghai for December. The other news that we have for China is that it is being reported that for 2022, China will lift the foreign investment restrictions, which require foreign automakers to operate under joint ventures in China. That will be lifted, and now they can own 100% of their Chinese operations. Now, of course, for Tesla, that doesn't change anything because Tesla was granted an exception to that and does already have 100% ownership of their operations in China, but still, that will level the playing field for others to now do the same. All right, last item for today is on Hyundai. The Korea Economic Daily is reporting that Hyundai is closing the engine development division at their R&D center in South Korea to instead focus on development of electric powertrains. In an email they acquired from the R&D chief, reads, quote, "Now it is inevitable to convert into electrification. Our own engine development is a great achievement, but we must change the system to create future innovation based on the great asset from the past," end quote. So I think definitely encouraging to see that smart move by Hyundai, in my opinion, and this continues to put the writing on the wall, which I think we have all seen for a long time. But again, kind of like we talked about in that interview with Alex Potter, the more decisions like this that are made, the clearer the message is to supply chains and other stakeholders as well on where things are heading and how quickly. So that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, December 29th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.